We continue our reading of Paul's letter to the Romans today in chapter 15. We begin at verse 14. We'll continue to the end of the chapter, verse 33. You'll find it on page 1208 in your pew Bible. Now, we're getting towards the end of Paul's largest letter. There's a lot of very interesting biographical facts that remind us that this was a real historical document, real people were involved, and yet the Word of God. Really, two things are going on at the end of this passage. In the first part, Paul talks about his own sense of calling as the apostle to the Gentiles, that he wants to preach the gospel. And he's mindful of how many people have not heard it, and so he wants to focus not where it's already been preached, mainly by him and others, but to other places. He has Spain on his mind, and he shares that with him, and he's got a plan. He plans, he's in Corinth right now, and he's going to Jerusalem, where he has the great love offerings. You'll read about that in 2 Corinthians especially. And they have received a spiritual blessing from the Jews through the gospel. They want to give a material blessing back during a time of famine. And he's going to go back to Jerusalem, wrap up that business. He plans to go to Spain, and he's going to stop at Rome on the way. He's never been there, and he wants to be a blessing to them and receive their blessing. That's Paul's plan. He has a zeal for spreading the gospel. Now, we're going to be studying the judgment of God this morning, and one thing we're going to emphasize is that is a zeal that we need as well and the world needs from us. Now, what we see in the second half is that he lays forth this plan, and we know that it's not going to happen that way. Isn't that so often the case? Man proposes, God disposes. And the key here, though, is that Paul knows enough to ask for prayer. You know, he's actually going to be arrested in Jerusalem. When he arrives in Rome, it's going to be in chains. But the apostle knew, whatever the Lord's plans were, that he needed the prayers of God's people. Verse 30, strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. That's the spirit that should be in our church, a gospel zeal coupled with a humble need for prayer. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. We need each other's prayers. We've got families raising children in a hostile world. We've got young people going to college. We've got people facing death at old age and all kinds of things. Let's be mindful of Paul's spirit. It should be regularly on our tongues. Would you pray for me? And let's be willing to be those who say, you know, I have prayed for you. And we will trust God for his sovereign disposition. Well, with these things being said, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 14 of Romans 15. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contributions for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it. Indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.